in the deal with me. I couldn't remember. I kept wanting to go back to the sermon I preached, and I couldn't find it because I got so many notebooks. But anyhow, the Lord, on hardship, enduring hardship, but the Lord began to speak to my heart as I began to just ponder and look, and He said, this is what the Lord told me. He started reminding me of sermons back in 2005. And so I went back and got a notebook and went going through some of the sermons of 2005. And one of the sermons I brought here and preached in 2005, this is not it, but I'm going to title this, you can go ahead, Beth, A Lifestyle of Faith. But the Lord spoke to me then, and He said, I want you to take this to the church. And I found the sermon, and I began to go over it, and He said, I want you to reach the lost. He said, my heart bleeds for the lost, you know. And He said, I want you to reach the backslidden. He said, because my heart grieves for the backslidden. And then He says, I want you to be my mouthpiece. He's talking about this church. He said, I want you to be my hands. He said, I want you to be my feet. He said, I want you to, He said, in higher levels. He said, I'm going to take you to higher levels. He said, there'll be more opponents. Higher devils is the way He said it to me. He said, but go forth, He said, because I have anointed you. I've placed my anointing on this ministry. This ministry belongs to God. And He said, I placed my anointing on this ministry. He said, and I've given you in the spirit realm. He said, I've given you the resources that you will need. That you will need. I've already give you the resources. And it just stirred me up on the inside, you know. And I thought, and I started thinking about it, and I thought, man, I've got jail ministries in me. I've got street ministries in me. I've got youth ministries. I've got desires that I have already went and did in the ministry. I've been very blessed in ministry. I've been in ministry for 30 years and evangelized for 7 years in streets and jails. I've been to the prisons. I've been to the nursing homes, you know, and I've been privileged that God, see, the Bible says that your gifts will make room for you. In other words, they will open the doors that you need. They will, you know, but we got to cultivate the life of God in us and find God's will and stay with God's will. We got to stick with God's will. We know it's God's will to be healed. You got to stick with it. And when hardship comes, you know, I'm going to be talking about a lifestyle of faith. And when you're living a lifestyle of faith, you don't have to change when calamity or things or other things comes your way. You don't have to adjust. Because you're already in faith. You're walking in faith. You're walking in confidence, you know, in God. All of our strength comes from the Lord. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then he went on, put that scripture up there, endure hardship, babe. But right before this, he said, that's not it. That's Hebrews. Timothy. Yeah, but before he said this to Timothy, he told him, he said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. See, now when God carried me back to 2005, he didn't want me to preach that tonight. When he carried me back and caused me to remember some things, and I went and found the sermon, just sermon notes is all it was, and I wrote down. A lot of times I write down, if I know God's telling me something, I write it down so I don't, you know, don't let it slip and all of that stuff, and that'll be good for you to do. Make notes. Take notes, you know. It's good to take notes, you know, and the things that God speaks to you in your life and the desires that you have to go and do and be for God, because God's already equipped us. The Bible says He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. He's done give us, we've already have the victory. And the Lord spoke to me one time. He said, serving Jesus, He said, is the easiest thing you will ever do. And at that time, I didn't really understand because I'm going through so much trouble in my life, it seemed like, at work and everywhere else, you know. And I really didn't understand what the Lord was talking about. Then He began to, over a course of time, you know, and when I would not, give in to hardship, quitting and different things, I began to understand that the strength that I needed is in Christ. And when I'm going forth serving the Lord, whether it's, you know, I was thinking about this today, I was thinking, you know, it's God, it's family, and it's country. God is first. God's always first. You know, he's ministry's not first. God is first. Family is not first. God is first. Some people put their family before God. I would never put my family before God. You know what that means? That means I led my family to church. I was putting God first. You know, I knew that that was God's will to lead my family into the will of God. I knew that if I followed God and led my family, even though they might have not liked some of the things, that's fine. You know, see, being right with God is doing what's right regardless of what it looks like and feels. You're going to do it anyways. Teresa was going to go with some of my sisters. They was into bingo. It's way back yonder, you know, they'd go to bingo, you know, sometimes they'd win, whatever, you know, or whatever. And she's wanting to go. They told her, let's go to bingo and blah, blah, blah. And I told her, absolutely not, you're not going to bingo. Because I'd read in the Bible, you know, where they cast lots for Jesus. They was gambling over Jesus' clothes, you know. And I'd read that in there and I thought, I'm not gambling. You know, I'm not going to buy lotto tickets. I'm not trying to bring my conviction. I'm just telling you what a lifestyle of faith is going to come and develop as you follow God. As you follow God and you set out to do the will of God and you fight. You fight to go to church. You fight. I fight for this ministry. This ministry that God's given me, this is not my church. This don't belong to me. I had to give this church to God. I owned this church. And I told God, well, the church can pay me back. And he said, I thought it was mine. And so I gave him this church. I gave him this, my part of this church years ago, 20-something years ago, you know. I just considered it not even mine anymore. Come on, somebody. You know how hard that was? I bought this building, I thought, you know, to you know, for an investment for later, and when it got out of the garage door, sell it and all that stuff, you know, part of an investment. So what I'm saying, I'm not just telling you my story, those sacrifices that we make for the Lord. We don't have to. But when we make those sacrifices for the Lord, the Bible says, don't you be weary in doing right, in well-doing, because in due season you will get the benefits of your well-doing. You will if you don't quit. You will if you don't fold under every little pressure. But he told him, he says, I'm going to express this again. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That the grace of God is not just unmerited favor. It is that. But the grace of God is the ability for us to do the will of God. It's God's empowerment. It's an endowment on the heart of man. Hallelujah. It's God's ability to do the will of God. Hallelujah. I stand 22 years here and I'm amazed that I've made it. I'm just being honest with you. I'm amazed that I've made it thus far. Hallelujah. But I'm not going to change my stance. See, once you get the will of God in areas, then you take a stand on that and then you don't back off of it. You don't, you know, Travis telling me the other day, he's getting revelation on, you know, he's eating off the top of the barrel, you know. And when somebody's like that, if you ain't careful, they can get on your nerves, you know, with it, because they're just on it, man. I mean, and they're saying it. You say something might be a little contrary to it, they'll just get you, you know. They'll just... You know, you just got to endure that. People get revelation, they're excited. I mean, they see it on the inside. Rejoice with them. You know, you praise with them. You know, and he told me the other day, he said, I don't know, maybe I'm getting on, might be getting on people's. I said, don't let it go. I said, don't back off, son. Don't back off. You know, in other words, follow the dream, follow the vision, follow follow that you're getting on the inside from the Lord. And I told, he said, well, do you think I'm getting overboard? I said, I said, I'm not your judge. I said, but you know on the inside whether you know it's in a wrong spirit or what. You know your motives, your reasons. I don't. Well, I looked at him and I said, I'm not going to be the one to put your fire out. See, don't be the one to put people's fire out. See, you're living a lifestyle of faith. This is what's going to help you develop. Another thing God told me, he said, and I want you to teach the ones that don't know how to walk with me, back in 2005. He said, I want you, the ones that comes, that don't know how to stand in faith, that don't know how to walk in faith, that don't know how to sow their way out of poverty. I am anointed to teach you how to prosper. That anointing is Jesus, the anointed one and his anointing. But that's one of the gifts that he's given me to teach you, sow $5. Tithe. Living a lifestyle. It's hard for me to believe God when I'm not doing those things. Why? Because the Bible tells Scotty, don't be hearers of the word only, and deceiving yourself, but be doers of the word. Be embracers of the word. Be activating the word of God. Hallelujah. Lord told me, he said, why don't you sow a seed tonight? And I said, I will, Lord. I sowed a seed tonight. I come to church, so thank God for church. And you know what? The Bible tells me, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall he cause men to give to my wallet. Bosom. Look it up, it says billfold. See, look, finances are on the bottom of God's dream list for you. But it's a major thing, even if it's the bottom. I mean, the Bible says that he would that you prosper and be in health. But he says, even as your soul prospers. Now, he told Timothy, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Now, see, we're soldiers in this army. Whether we're kind of like, you know, telling about Aubrey, I'm praising God because there was a time when she didn't want to have nothing to do with Jesus. And when you mention tithing, she ain't giving Jesus nothing. When you mention giving, she ain't giving. I mean, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, this is my grandbaby. This is what, I mean, she sat in my lap in the summertime. You know, and I turned her on to a chocolate popsicle. I got pictures. And it's just draining. I mean, she's a very special baby to me. Aiden is too. Both of them. But I'm like, oh my God. And then I thought, do not confess nothing concerning her other than she's going to know Jesus. She's going to walk with Jesus. She's going to. Why am I saying that? He said, endure hardship. He didn't say go to saying, oh my God, did all blah, blah, blah. Right. No, you're not in faith now. You're not living a lifestyle of faith. Faith is bringing my baby now. She's nine. She's laying hands on people in school. Praise God. And the results, that's a result of my enduring hardship, part of it. And Travis and Beth and y'all guys. Y'all guys are molding my grandbabies. That's why I need you in faith. That's why I need you strong. That's why I need you. Your babies, your kids, are the church is showing them and giving them examples. Examples of a lifestyle of faith. Now when they get, as they grow up, my grandbaby is not going to have to wonder how to get in faith. Why? Because we have walked with her. And we have molded her, and we have preached the gospel to her, and I have led her to Jesus. We have. But you know who gets all the credit for everything? God. Because our trust and reliance is in Him. That we are His mouthpiece. We are His hands. We are. But if Satan can get you, because God is not doing anything to hold you back. Not one thing. Not one good thing. I get this out of the Scripture. I'm going to believe based on Scripture. There's not one good thing that He will hold back for those who walk upright. Walking in faith is walking upright. Do you know you're pleasing God when you fight to go to church? When you get up and go to church and you don't feel like it, you're walking in faith. You might not feel like going. You might not have felt like going. I didn't feel like going to the nursing homes at times, the prisons at times, the jails at times, the streets at times. But I knew it was the will of God, and I knew what 1 Timothy 6:12 says. It says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold. And so I fought the good fight in those things, praise God, and learned. I learned how to walk in faith enduring hardship. You learn how to walk in. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience through the things He went through. Scripture says Jesus learned obedience to the Lord through the things that He went through. I want to read to you. I looked up that word endure. See, God's got too many complaining Christians. Not us. This church don't complain. If y'all do, I don't know it. And if you did, I'd help you out. I would absolutely have to help you. Because I know that complaining is unbelief. I know that complaining is contrary to faith. Complaining is contrary to confidence in God. You know, complaining is a type of a fear that God's not got you, that God's not going to take care of you. Or it's the results of you're having to endure stuff you don't like. How many knows every one of us in here, I guarantee you, has to endure stuff that we don't like. Going to work, running a weed eater for 8 hours. Ask Mac about that. He's buzzing when he gets home. I run a weed eater 2 or 3 hours, man. I can still feel it in my arm when I get done. You know? And I've heard him before, but the word endure there, it says to continue in the same state. Not moved. Continue to remain firm under suffering or misfortune without yielding. It says, I'm going to read it again. Endure, that means that you stay in the same state you were in when you entered the trial. In faith. It's important. To you can be all excited about God and the things of God. I mean, I got here tonight and found out that Travis wasn't going to be here. And I'm like, oh my God. I told Beth, I said, well, I didn't even know it. I knew it when Beth got here. He'd been in the bed sick, whatever's happening, you know, and all that. And I mean, used to, I would say, have I even come to church? What was I doing? I wasn't enduring, right? I was not enduring. I'm in the bathroom one time because, I mean, we'd have 70 and then we'd have, and then I preached to the empty pews. I come to church and preach a sermon. Nobody here. See, that's the will of God for me. That I don't yield to the things that I feel. I want to shut the doors, to be honest. It's kind of discouraging. So I understand when hardship comes, how it can discourage you and how it can cause you not to want to fight and how it. Every one of us has these opportunities. It don't make no difference if you're pastoring or if you're just trying to go to work and your tire's flat when you get up. Or you get up and you're going to take your kids to school and they all fighting and all of that stuff. You know, it won't make you want to go back to bed. See, we got to learn under hardship, and we got the victory. There's not one Christian that is born of the Spirit of God that don't have endurance in them. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit of God, patience, which is endurance. And we have it. But we got to use, it's kind of like money. You know, money is no good till you go to the grocery store and spend it, really. It does nothing. Faith is no good unless you put it into action and use it. You get faith out of the Word of God. You read in the Word of God in Deuteronomy 28. You know, He says, if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to do all that I command you. What is He commanding you? All he expects me to do is do what I know to do. That's all. He don't require any more out of me than to do what I know to do. He said, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. And you know, one of the things that I realized later on, that the blessing causes me to enjoy my work. I mean, enjoy it. Because the Lord, the Word of God said, He said, I will bless everything that you set your hands to do. He said, everything that you do, He said, I will bless it, everything that you do. And I thought, oh my God, I don't want to do nothing. that's just the human nature, you know. And just like you got homemakers, whatever you want to call it. The wife stays out. You're anointed to wash dishes. I could just imagine Teresa the same routine for 39 years. Day in, day out, wash them dishes, wash them clothes, pick my clothes up, you know, clean the house up, and here I come in and wash my elbows and all and get grease all over the sink. You know what? She has to endure hardship. And you think staying at home is, she stays at home and trials shows up. You can stay at home and a trial shows up. You can go to church and a trial shows up. I've had a trial before. I used to be, my parking spot was where Teresa gets. That's the pastor's parking spot. And if anybody parked in that parking spot, I'd have a trial. I would, Johnny. I'd be like, they know I parked there. They know I parked there. You know, and I'd be like, well, but God, I'm going to get them in service tonight while I'm preaching. I'll just let them know that's the pastor's parking lot. and the Lord said, I thought you said endure hardship. He said, that's my parking spot. Well, everything belongs to the Lord. The earth and everything in it, right, belongs to the Lord. Told somebody the other day, they said something. I said, it ain't yours. I said, it's not yours. Oh, yeah, I bought it and paid for it. I said, when you leave here, it ain't going with you. I said, so you're borrowing it. God's letting you enjoy things here. See, all of these little bitty things really, don't matter here. Stay in faith and you can enjoy all the little things that gets on your nerves. So Teresa got my parking spot and it don't bother me at all. I actually, when I come up, I'm thinking, who can I bother tonight? Now, I wouldn't, some of the new folk, let them park where they want to. But now some of y'all been here a while, I'm going to help you endure hardship, I seen Zach get Teresa's parking. I thought, oh, man, why's he got to park there, man? And then, lo and behold, Johnny's parked up here at the front man up there. I thought, that's Johnny's spot there. And then little hot dog Zach gets him a car going on up in here. And here he comes and parks there. And I thought, he knew that's Johnny's spot. And then when all the trials got over, he backs over where nobody parks. And I thought, everybody passed the test. That's what happened. Everybody just rolled with God in it and said, oh, well, that God, See, that's what enduring hardships. Stay in the same spirit you were in before you entered the trial. Before the school called you. Before your kids are acting up. See, staying in faith, living a lifestyle of faith, when these things happen, you don't have to adjust. There's no adjustment. You're already in faith. You're like, well, glory to God. All things work together for the good. Bless God, hallelujah. It might look bad, but when I consider God, it's not bad as I think. See, but to continue in the same state, to remain firm under suffering or misfortune without yielding, without whining, complaining. Y'all kids in school, thank God for your teacher that gets on your nerves. Well, we know. We got bosses over us. You got parents over you. We understand hardship. We understand we have to stay in on our job without complaining. You do it in school. You're serving Jesus, you say. Right? So we're teaching our grandkids, submit to authority over you, don't complain, and pray for them, and teaching them the right things, you know, to stay in a, Teresa gets them in a right spirit. A lot of times they're arguing about things when they get out to the truck. Grandma takes them to school. If Grandma likes taking them to school, she's teaching them how to pray at that time more than, I mean, they're teaching them home. But taking that opportunity, getting them in a right spirit, getting them in faith. The parents' job is to get them in a right spirit before they go to school, because they're sitting in there with demonic spirits all day long. Hallelujah. There's demonic spirits at school. Hallelujah. You know, and that's why you don't complain about your teachers. You know, you don't complain. Thank God for them. Pray for them. God help them, Lord. They may be having a bad day. Their marriage might be on the rod. Lord, their kids might be sick, God. God, they may not have no money at all, God. They may not. See, you don't know their circumstances, but it really don't matter about that. It's about you enduring hardship as a good soldier. That means don't cop an attitude. Don't cop an attitude on the job. Live a lifestyle of faith. Faith has joy. Faith has peace. Faith has energy. You know, and then no matter what comes your way, you can enjoy your life. You know, Joyce Myers, you know, that's one of the titles of her ministry, Enjoying Everyday Life. You know, well, if you listen to the things that woman went through, her father and people sexually abusing her and all of that stuff, you know, and then called into ministry and got all these hurts and pains and confusion and all that, then all of a sudden, you know, God begins to bring restoration and healing through her walk of faith. She didn't even know really that this healing was going to take place this way, to the point to where she took care of her father and her mother in their last days. See, and you might be saying, well, that's Joyce Myers. No, Joyce Myers got saved and wore short shorts and all kind of stuff when she was messed up from the floor up. Her emotions were shot. Her reality of family was not existent the way that it should have been. Her mother knew about it. I'm not going to tell you her story. Y'all all know it. If you don't, well, pick it up and read it. You know? But what she did, she started enduring hardship as a good soldier. And that builds character in us. That builds character, a lifestyle of faith. So you need to go home and you need to tell God, God, help me, God, to learn how to walk and live in this lifestyle of faith. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask Him to help you. I can only give you what limited stuff that I have. You know, I'm just like you. I walk by faith. There's times I really don't know how I should respond. Then I turn to God or the Word. I try to find the Scripture on it, and then I yield that way. That's how you do it. It's simple. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:3 that man shall not live by bread alone, by your natural reasoning, by natural things, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. See, if we're going to walk a lifestyle of faith, then we got to get the Word on healing. Just say healing. You know, I remember when I went through and I drove myself to the hospital up in Coleman. Travis and Teresa kind of made me. I'm living by faith, Johnny. Well, just to appease them, I went on up there, you know, and they did a DKG, slapped me in the house. You ain't going nowhere. You ain't going. Doctor comes in there and he said, you're not going nowhere. He said, you're going to have open heart surgery. No, they did EKG, then they run the dye in there. Then I got the news that I was going to have open heart surgery. Well, my dad died with a massive heart attack. He had open heart surgery. My younger brother had open heart surgery, you know. And a lot of my family had stents and this and that, you know. I determined right then, I thought, I'm a man of faith. But God, I'm not scared of nothing. I'm not scared of dying. I'm not scared. Now, why I'm telling you, I'm not just telling you a story. I'm telling you that is something. A report that you don't want. Don't make no difference with that or whatever it is or strep throat or you got to stand against all of it. And so I found it out, you know, and I thought, okay, praise God, I'm not going to be moved. You know, we sang the song in church, I shall not, we're like a tree. That's in the scripture, planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Oh God, why me? You did not believe Psalms, right? He says we're like trees planted by the rivers of water. Their leaves does not wither. And it says whatsoever they do prosper. And so I'm in the ambulance, and I'm going down through there, and I'm praying in tongues in the ambulance. Thank you, Lord, no weapons formed against me will prosper. Go in there, they're like, what do you want to watch the video? And I said, nope, don't want to watch no video. Let's just get it done. And so why I'm telling you that is I went in, there was a brief moment when I was sitting on the bed, and tears begin to run down my face because I begin to think I will be useless. Brief moment. And then I shook it off. How many know you got to shake things off? I shook it off. And I said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Then my brother came down and he says, I prayed for you. I hope God heard me. I told him, I said, I talked to him this morning too, and I know he heard me. I said, so I'll be back in a little while. I said, when I get out of here, I said, I'm going to be looking for you in church. I'm trying to get him in church, fixing to let him, I'm in pre-op. I'm talking about church down there in Birmingham, man. You know, I had live stream down there. I didn't miss none of our services here. I wasn't looking for a reason. Hallelujah. This body ain't you. And so I went in faith, I come out in faith, and I stayed in faith. I stayed in faith, I didn't go by how my body felt or anything, weak, and all of that. I went by what I believe. See, I believe, you believe based on the Word and not on your body. Now you're in faith. Now you're marching forward into the victory that you really want already. You're the one walking and taking it. And so anyways, I went in, then I applied for assistance and all of that, you know, and they denied me $130,000 doctor bill with no insurance. $130,000. You ain't got no trouble. All you need is faith in God. I submitted all the paperwork, denied. You make too much money for any assistance. Denied. I said, okay. Then the Bible says a good name's rather to be. Go by what you believe, not by what it looks like or how you can pay it. See, you got to stay out of this reasoning center up here called your mind. You renew your mind to God's Word where you think like God thinks. It's doable. You looking at a 27-year-old messed up, broke, raised in poverty, started renewing my mind, and you looking at a wealthy man today. And I ain't even finished. There's more in here. Praise God. Well, anyways, I came out, Denied, denied, denied. So I thought, okay, a good name is rather to be charged. I'm going to keep my name good, God. God, you gave me a good name. I believed you for a good name. You need to believe God for a good name. A good name is that you'll be in faith. You're in faith. When you're believing God for His promises in here, a good name is rather to be chosen. Now you're walking and going after God's will. You're going after God's will. My son has done paid cash, saved money. Everybody needs a savings account. I don't make enough to save. Oh, you're reasoning again. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I know what it is to save a dollar is all really that I can afford to save. I know what it is to put myself on, me and Teresa decide $10 a week is all I'm going to get for allowance. And if I spend that, that's it. That's all week long to go to work. Well, I didn't work for myself then. See, I was having to learn how to be happy with $10. I was having to learn how to be in all state to be content. Be content where you are. Don't complain where you are. Don't complain because you're not where you're going to stay if you're going to follow God. You're going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. You're going up, hallelujah. You're coming out. You're going to get breakthroughs. He's the God of breakthroughs. But He can only bring a breakthrough to the children of Israel by following Him to the Red Sea. He couldn't bring a breakthrough to really get them free because they're still over here on the enemy side. But now when He carried them through because of their faith and their following God, He shut the door on the enemy. How many knows Jesus shut the door on the enemy, stripped him of all power? Satan is not your problem. He might have you convinced he's your problem. He might have you convinced he can keep you out of church. He might have you convinced you can't love your neighbor. He may have you convinced that you can't love a government. He may have you convinced, but I'm telling you, according to the Scripture, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We can love our enemies. It's not a natural love, it's a supernatural love. You're already healed in the name of Jesus. There was a guy. Well, anyway, let me finish the story. Okay, I stayed in faith and I thought, $130,000, man, I won't never get this paid for. I'll never get this. And I owed the doctors $15,000 or $16,000, I don't know. It was $145,000 is what I owed at the time. $145,000. And so I thought, a good name, I'm going to do the right thing. See, you do the right thing regardless of what it looks like, regardless. And when you begin as a Christian to do the right thing, here comes the enablement of God. Here comes the grace of God. Here comes the ability of God in your life. He's going before you and He's guarding you behind you. Got you back. Well, they called and I said, okay, fine. I said, this is what I want to do. I made my mind up. I'm going to pay $500 a month that I didn't see how I could afford. I'm going to pay $500 a month on the $130,000. I really couldn't afford it at that time. Don't think you can afford the will of God. You cannot afford the will of God. The will of God will lead you out beyond your means. Beyond your ability. I mean, He'll take you places. He'll bring finances. He'll bless you like you really desire. There's nothing wrong with desiring to have a good life and have nice vehicles and don't have any of that struggles anymore. There's nothing wrong with that. But follow after God and let God's provision make place. Let it happen. Well, I picked up, answered it, or called them, whatever. Anyhow, I'm on there. I said, okay. I said, this is what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to pay $500, $250 a month on the $130,000, and $250 a month on the doctors. The $15,000 was the doctors, nearly $16,000. The $130,000 was just the hospital. And she says, okay, Miss Weston, hold on just a minute. And she comes back and she said, Mr. Weston, you're not going to believe what happened. I went to my manager and told my manager what you wanted to do. And my manager said that that if you would pay $250 or $300, I think, $300, and pay $300 right now, and pay $500 a month on the doctor bill, that she would cancel the $130,000. I said, by gollies, hold on, let me get my credit card. So I run right in there. I was hoping it didn't lose. I started to give her my number in case we get unconnected here, you know, because I was on Core Wireless then. You get shut off. So anyways, I come back in there. I paid that $300 and agreed to pay the $500, and bam, God canceled $130,000. Give him some praise. He deserves it. Now, what if I'd have got in there whining all the way down there in the ambulance, griping about why me, God? I mean, you know, and then I have to stay in the hospital 3 weeks. I'm about ready to leave. They don't own me is what I'm thinking. I'm going to get my clothes and I'm getting out of here. How many knows I wasn't enduring? Come on, somebody. I don't have no excuse to do that. They have a reason why they're keeping me. My kidneys ain't what they want it to be or whatever. And I'm upset because they're keeping me a week longer. Because I'm wanting to get out and drive. I'm wanting to get out and some fresh air, man. You know. Well, anyways, see, what if I hadn't endured hardship? What if I hadn't been going to do things? Just forget them. But God, that hospital charges too much. Don't start griping about all that. They saved your life. They saved my life. They were there for me. You know, I mean, they even cut me down the side shaving. I wanted to fire that woman. They shaved me naked. I told Teresa, get the picture, baby. You ain't seen me since I was a baby like this. I was naked. But you let them stick all them stickers on you, you'll pay them, buddy, to shave you. When they come pull them off, oh! I tell them, shave me. Nurse comes in, you gonna shave me before they come back in here and do an AKG or whatever. See, all of those are hardships. You stay in the right spirit. I come out and got delivered. You know what I owe the doctors right now? Zero. I owe no man nothing. I don't owe nobody nothing. But at that time, I was like, I'm up here $200,000 in debt. $220,000 or $30,000 if you count. I try not to count it up. See, don't count it up. Just don't count it up. Just believe God. Walk, live, develop a lifestyle of faith. And I'm telling you, praise God, your healing will come. Your deliverance will come. It don't matter how it comes. Just let it come. See, in the Bible, I knew in the Bible, because I was doing healing school here, and I used to think back under, you know, you go to the doctor, you ain't got a lot of faith. When I started healing school up here, God began to break down some of them sacred cows I had. He began to show me in Proverbs and Scripture that I didn't know. He said, it's foolish not to use every means available to get yourself healed. I couldn't believe it was in the Bible. You know? That means whatever, man. Hey, however, it don't make no difference. And so God began to break those sacred cows where He could use other avenues to help me when He needed to use other avenues. And He paid the whole bill. That's great. That was great, man. Paid the whole bill and blessed me and Teresa where we paid the doctors off early. You know what I thought? It was nearly 16th. I thought, man, that was a nice Silverado. I could have bought me a nice Silverado. Man, $500 a month to them doctors? You know? But you know what? People could say, I ain't paying $20,000 for no garage doors. I'd be like, oh my God, I don't want to need to be reaping that. You reap what you sow. So I'm like, yes, Lord. They bought them the scissors. They was high. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Them machines. I had one through here and some through here and one side. Oh, it was this side. I remember. It was this side. Had it through here. And when they put me to sleep, and my heart stopped, and it's sucking that blood, running that blood through my body. And my heart ain't beating, man. So it's keeping my, thank God for that machine. Pray God, they spent 4 or 5 hours of the heart not beating, you know, and bringing, you know, new hose pipes or whatever, veins. Praise God, I got some good veins now out of my legs. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Put that Hebrews 10 up there. Endure hardness. Stop folding under pressure. Stop complaining under pressure. Stop complaining about the doctors. See, the doctors are limited, but Dr. Jesus is not. I mean, they're limited in what they can do, praise God. But, you know, and it's really, they just go by science and all the science, most of them, praise God, unless they get some experience after years, and then they've got experience then, you know. So don't complain. Stop complaining about your life. I hate work. Well, stop it. Get up and confess how you love it. How you really enjoy work. Thank you, Lord. I enjoy work. I mean, I saw after I started doing that back yonder, because I was causing hardship on my family because I wouldn't work. I was causing financial problems because I wouldn't work. We couldn't have nothing, you know. And so anyways, after I got born again, you know, and I read the scripture where it says, work with your own hands that you will have to give to them who need. And I thought, that's crazy. I'm going to work. I want it to buy me stuff. I want it to buy, you know. And then I thought, well, God's different than this. You know, God's different. So I started getting up every morning. Lord, I praise you for my job. I thank you for my, I hated my job. I really didn't want to go to work ever. And so I started getting up and I started confessing, Lord, I thank you that I love my work. I like my work. I like my job, Father God. The joy of the Lord's my strength, God. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. I begin to get up and praise God. And then before you know it, you know, I'm feeling excited about going to work a little bit. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? I used to call in sick. I'm lying because I ain't going to work. But, you know, I didn't want to get fired, so just lie. Tell them you're sick. You're sick. Then you run around everywhere all day and go fishing, whatever. Flea market. Johnny, you're guilty. Well, you know what? Praise God. Went on, you know, and I thought, glory to God. I'm going to be the best that I can be down here. I mean, you know, God changes us from the inside. All I did is begin to follow the will of God. And I knew it was God's will for me to have a job. I knew it was God's will, you know. And then before you know it, I was buying us nice cars and stuff, you know. Praise God and all that stuff, you know. But anyways, I sawed my leg with, I got a chainsaw into my leg and cut my leg, you know. Teresa's father-in-law took me to the emergency room. They sewed it up. I didn't let Teresa know nothing about then. All she knew is I had stitches later, you know. And so doctor said, no, I don't need you to do nothing, you know, for need to stay home 6 weeks, whatever it was. I don't remember what it was. I'm sitting at home, you know, and I called my boss, you know, and told him, well, that's okay, sugar, that's okay. I stayed there a day and a half, and I thought, man, I want to go to work. I thought, what? Are you stupid or what? I got a good excuse now, and I still want to go, man. And I realized, Johnny, that this is God. I realized this is God causing me to enjoy something that I hated up to the point that I got saved. And so I called my boss up, and I said, hey, I said, listen, I said, I can't go tote no sheetrock and all of that stuff, you know, but I can drive that truck and I can climb up that. I don't have to bend my leg, you know, it was across my knee kind of. I said, I don't have to bend my leg. I said, once I get that truck rolling, I said, I never use the clutch hardly ever again, even at red lights. I just back way off and let them change and then I just ease my way right on through. He said, well, what if you have to stop? I said, I'll stand up. I said, I'll stand up and I won't bend. And I said, I'll mash the clutch. I said, man, I just need to come back to work. You know, I felt like that I had conquered the world in that conversation. And he let me come back to work, Johnny. He let me come back to work. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know what? The whole year after I was saved, I enjoyed my job for the first time of my life. I was 27 years old. The joy of the Lord was my strength then, you know. But what was happening, see, is I was beginning to live a lifestyle of faith. And faith has joy. Even in bad situations, in bad circumstances, the faith of God has joy. It has peace, hallelujah. And you know, it don't mean that trouble ain't going to come and you might have to gather yourself right quick and, you know, make sure you don't yield the wrong way. See, that's why you can't be quick-tempered. You can't be quick-tempered. If you're going to walk in faith, you can't be quick to get angry. Well, my husband didn't make... No, ain't nobody can make you angry. The devil's lying to you. There ain't nobody can make you get mad. Nobody. No matter what they say. I told Travis one time, he was talking about, you know... I mean, I sent him to some of the roughest customers back when he started with me, and I did it on purpose. It wasn't to pull a prank on him. I sent him to the worst ones to deal with, the ones that I never wanted to go, but I realized they had my money. I realized y'all got my money, and I don't care cussing me out. They would cuss you out before you even done the job and told you how high you was last time, and they really don't like you. And you're like, well, why are you calling me? Because you do good work. That's what you pay me good for. That's why you don't call them other ones that don't fix it for you and charge you. $45. If I just charge $45, I ain't going to fix nothing either. Right? Look, WD-40 is $8 a can if you ain't priced it, man. Well, I sent Travis on, and I told Teresa, I said, 30 minutes. I said, he'll be calling me in 30 minutes. I knew it, Mac. I knew where he's going. Buddy, I knew. But I'd done developed endurance. I'd already developed it. See, you can use hardship to develop. Use it to develop. And once you get it developed, hardship's not hard like it used to be. I'm just telling you, once you get things developed in your life, then they're not battles like they used to be anymore. They're just normal. You're like, whoo, is that all you got, devil? That's the only one you got? That's the meanest one you got? Well, Travis calls me. He goes back out to Dad, I'm going to kill him. No. I said, listen. I said, you better not have an attitude with my customer. Do not say anything against my customer. I said, now they got my money, son. I said, now you get in there with a good attitude. You're a Christian. Come on, you're a Christian. Just that, right? You're a Christian. I did it on purpose, Dave. I did it on purpose to turn my son on to the real hardship that is out here on this planet that he's been protected from most of his life. He ain't had to develop in that. But then, you know, now I know when he's upset, his ears gets red. Him and Beth both. I can tell when they're kind of upset. Beth gets red here and ears, you know, because I mean, she's real like complected anyways. It's obvious. I don't even have to see the eyes. And Travis, I can look from him from behind. And I look at his ear and I'm like, ooh, he's Rudolph right now. Rudolph, the red nose, but he's red-eared, you know. But you know what? I never see him express it. See, the Bible says you can be angry, but don't sin. You can be angry, but don't yield the wrong way. Don't start complaining. Don't start griping. That's what endure hardship. And what do we think? We get Christians and trouble goes away? That's just not reality. You get born again, you've got the same troubles you had before you got saved. Now you got the devil against you when he was for you. The devil was for you. He had you. I mean, there wasn't no need for him to put no hardship on you. He got you where he's at. But now that you get born again, you have him and his demons that are just trying to persuade you. That's all the power they have, is to convince you that you don't have victory. Convince you that you're not healed. Convince you that you can't prosper. Convince you that you can't come out. Convince you that you're sad. Convince you that you're oppressed. My mom and dad died, and I've seen Christians for 40 years, they sad every birthday of their parents. See, there is a grieving, but not 35 years. There's a demon there every year. Got to get them back there. Got to go back there around that time and go ahead and get their emotions cracking again. You know, I praise God. I praise God that my mama's in heaven. I praise God she's not here with them battles she was having to face anymore. And see, the sadness and the loneliness is about me. It's about me. If I brought my mama back here, we'd all be dead. She'd blow this whole church up, man. She's in heaven. Come on. Hallelujah. Standing in faith is a process that you must work. You must work that process. But that process brought me $130,000. That process brought me out of debt. We don't owe nothing. This church don't owe nothing. Our ministry don't owe nothing. Your ministry here don't owe nothing. We're reaching the world for Jesus. We're going to go into the prisons just waiting on the people to get here or you to get ready whenever God brings that up. There's ministry going to go out from this church on the streets to the teenagers. And I've even did that before. I went and preached at my church, and one of them that I taught teenagers, boy, I've been waiting on you to get here a long time. And now they're up preaching. They're up ministering in the church. I helped to develop them and walk with them and up here. And then God privileged me to come with y'all, to come up here with y'all guys. Praise God. But he says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For you have need of endurance, patience, that after you've done the will of God, not before you do it. So you're going to need some endurance because you're doing the will of God. You're going to need some endurance because you're doing the will of God. Somebody told me one time, he said, well, if you wasn't pastoring, you wouldn't be so passionate about church. I said, you know what? I wasn't pastoring down there when I quit going to the flea market on Sunday. I wasn't pastoring. I wasn't evangelizing or nothing. I knew it was the will of God, and I believed if it was the will of God, then the devil's going to try to stop the will of God in my life. And so I told him, I said, well, you're wrong. I said, you're wrong. I said, now pastoring does help me endure some stuff, but not going to church. I said, I whipped that back down yonder in 1994. I threatened to quit my job back down there in 1994. If I can't go to church on Wednesday, I'm going to backslide. That's what I'm thinking. I need that Wednesday night, man, to make it on through the week. That's the way I thought. Hallelujah. You know, I thought, man, midweek is just, we're pumped up, man. We go to church, but we didn't go to church just to fill the pews. I mean, we go and we singing, and man, we getting down with it, you know. We just, after we kind of got used to it, you know. I wasn't used to all that radical stuff. But I was going to church. In every service, I set my heart to believe God that every time I went to church, that he was going to give me something, that he was going to minister something to me, that he was going to strengthen me, that he was going to strengthen me and Teresa. And you know what? Every time I went like that, I never left dissatisfied. It might be just a little bit. I'd go to work preaching the next day, boy. Thursday morning, they knew Thursday morning, stay away from the time clock. Because I'm fired up, boy. Me and Teresa, we'd blah, blah, blah all the way home about what God did, what God was doing, blah, blah, blah. And then we lay in the bed, blah, blah. I got to get up at 4:30. I got to be in at 5. But we're laying there 10, 11 at night, just about the Lord. Well, you know what? We back out there in the world. We didn't care if we had to go to work or not. We just party till time to go to work. Then go to work, and we endured hardship then without Jesus. Right? How much more over here in the kingdom? You know, we've already got the equipment on the end. Greater is he that is in you. So I want to encourage you. Concerning sickness, believe God. Stand. Don't start saying, oh, I'm sick, I'm getting it. Somebody says they're something wrong with them, I'd throw the shield of faith up and I'm not me, but God, not me. I didn't let them slobber all over everything. I got the shield of faith up, but God ain't going to get on me. See, COVID hurt some of the church people. Stay away from church if you get a little sniffle. Used to, I'm trying to drag them to church if they got sniffles. And COVID changed it. Man, people be like, well, I'm sick. Well, go to church. That's where you need to be. This is the place you ought to be. So we loaded up the truck and moved to Beverly. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know, praise God, I mean, that's the way you got to do. I used to think I'd be like, drag them to church, man. That's where we, Brother Brad, he anoints them, lays hands on them, but God, they'd get healed. You know? And then COVID, oh, stay here, stay away from me. Huh? Masked. Everybody, they suffocated. They're losing oxygen to their brain because they ain't getting no oxygen in there. Seriously, I tried one of them things. I thought I was going to suffocate. Man, you're sucking your own air. Can't get no oxygen. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? I mean, we got to get back to the Word. How are we going to call on the elders if they at home? How are we going to lay hands and anoint them with oil if they home? We can't teach them to stay home. If you got a sniffle, come on, let's anoint you with oil. Hallelujah. Let's pray for you. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. The church is going to rise in the last hour. We're going to be the glorious church, and I believe we're part of the move of God that is happening now. He's been getting us ready. I told Travis the other day, I said, you know, God's been getting us ready. I said, He's getting us ready for them messed up folk that's going to come to church. They're going to come out of the world, and they're behind on everything. Their lights are cut off. Their water's off. But they're giving their heart to Jesus. They're turning to the only one that can help them. I said, the Bible says in Proverbs, where there is no ox in the stall, it's clean. You know what that means? Ain't no animals in there to be getting no poop out. But where the ox are, there's mess. I told him, I said, God's getting us ready. That's why he's been clipping down our attitudes, you know, where we can work good together and love one another and forgive one another and walk in unity with one another through things we don't like and correction and direction and no and yes and blah. I felt like the bad guy, especially with Sandy. I mean, if I'd let that girl, she would have this whole sanctuary decorated. She would. She's the decoratingest woman I've ever seen in my life. That's why we even got a lot of this stuff in here. And I'm like, that's enough. That's enough. We don't want no distractions in here. I've had people here, well, we need a Hispanic Jesus and a black Jesus picture and a white picture. And I'm like, what? There's not three gods. You're creating gods everywhere. Well, the black people worship black. God's not black. He's a spirit. Right? And those who worship Him, how they worship Him, not through a picture. I've told Sandy no, and I'm like, oh my Jesus. She's so sweet. I mean, I never want to tell her no, ever. And she's like, well, they don't feel like it. Don't tell us. I just know I overcame and I dealt with it without the fear and all of that stuff. And we're still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now she can handle them teenagers that's getting a little rebellious. She's going to start cracking that wheel. Hey, put the food up. I'm telling you, I've poured out my heart to y'all. And I'm telling y'all, we're going to pay attention. Pay attention in here. That's what I do. You know, I mean, I've told stories. I've had them, their families over here, and there's about 50 people here, and they're over,
it was you. You started it. No, you started it. No, you did. I'm telling you, I know you've done.
And I said, hey. And they went,
huh?
I said, you, get over here. Get over here. Y'all remember that? I said, get over here. You sat over here, and you sat over there. Y'all don't be doing that. And I went on and preached my sermon. And after church, I told them, I said, y'all don't ever come to church arguing like that, man. It's hard for me to preach up there when y'all arguing. See, that's why we walk. If I can teach you and help you and walk with you to where you're living a lifestyle of faith, you're going to come through like Aubrey to church. Ooh, this hip's got through the church. What's going on? Everything bad in my life, but I'm praising the Lord. It'll be something that's real. You know, it'll be genuine. You'll be like, oh, glory to God. Oh, the devil does this and that. And troubles come, but by God, we walk by faith up in our house. We quit that arguing. Me and Teresa quit arguing. We don't argue. One of us gets mad, we just shut up. It's real easy to shut up, Mac. Just shut up. Used to, if I didn't shut up, I had to put up. And vice versa. But you know what? As we've walked in a life of faith, we realize this stuff is trying to drain our faith. You know, you ever filled your bathtub up and you didn't get the stopper in there just right? You get in there and back in there and you got your soap bubbles up and all that, and you go and get in there and you look down there and you dry. You let the water drain out. Well, how many knows we got stoppers that stops the drain of faith? It's the Word of God. It's a made-up mind. And I'm telling you, there's a generation coming that is going to want church. And I'm believing God to stir our hearts to where we want it. We long for it because you are there, God, because your presence is there. You manifest yourself there to us and to me, God. And then you come up into my home and you put that anointing on us in our homes. Praise God. See, the Bible says that they're going to run to us. And I'm looking for it. All of these are going to be full. We're going to stand on the sidelines if we have to and let them have our seats, ain't we? Some of you ain't there yet. It's okay. It's okay. We'll roll you something in here. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want to encourage you. You know, I mean, you may feel like you are totally faithless. That's where you got to learn not to go by how you feel. You got to know that the Bible says that every man has been given the measure of faith. You got to say, I'm born again. I have faith, regardless of how I feel. I have faith. Thank you, Lord. And you just go around the rest of this week and you just confess. I got faith, God. I've got your son, Jesus. And the Word says, see, you're going by the Word now. You're not going by how you feel. It's real simple. It's not complicated until it gets down in here, past here, because this will mess you up between here and here. You know, but if you don't listen to this and you listen to this, listen to the Bible, it's true, then you, before you know it, you'll be like, I'm saved. I'll tell you this story. There's an evangelist Ron Day was in a service and a guy come up for him to pray for him. And he said, what can I help you with? And he told him, he said, well, the devil just keeps telling me I'm not saved. He said, well, are you? Oh, yeah. He said, but the devil keeps telling me I'm not saved. He said, well, are you? Oh, yeah. He said, well, the devil keeps telling. He'd done it about 3 or 4 times. And then finally the guy got it. I'm saved. I'm already saved. I'm saved. He knew he was saved. But the devil's lying to his mind, and now he's yielding to his emotions, praise God. Well, you do that with healing. You do that with finances. You do that with your wife, your husband, your kids. You do the same thing that you do there as salvation or whatever. All of it's so simple, it takes Satan to confuse people. Now see, when we start, that's why the Lord told me, he said, and to those who don't know, walk with them. Walk with them and teach them how to walk with me. How many knows we had to be taught how to walk with God? We're still learning, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we can